Good morrow, my gentle friends. Good morrow to you. This is the declothed human, the naked Englishman, the new dude.
The undressed male.
The undressed male. Here he is. But dressed for your delectation and despondency. Welcome on the whatever it is of July 2000 and that year that you've just remembered. I'm just having a look. Yep, it is the 16th of July 2025. There you go. We got there in the end. Thank you and well done to you.
Thank you for listening. Good night.
And thank you for listening and goodbye. I hope that was entertaining and kept you amused. It is a beautiful sunny day so far out there. There are hollyhocks peering into my room, actually, like little cameras. They do resemble the Triffids in some way. They are very tall, my hollyhocks. They must be. That one there is probably about 8 foot tall.
Yeah, easily.
Easily. It's incredibly. I remember wishing and desiring to have hollyhocks, and I had to wait a whole year, well, because they only flower in the second year, for them to come up. And now, look at that. It is a English country garden out the front of my house. No other house in this little parade, or even opposite, has hollyhocks. And people often stop and admire them as the hollyhocks reach out and strangle them. So, you know, it's nice. Nice to see. Nice to see. Yesterday, I cleared out the back room and left the house. I cleared out the back room, which was jam-packed with stuff, and I decided, while sorting out my life, I would sort this bloody room out. Waiting for the proofreader books to arrive. They may come today. They may not, but they may come today. And I need to be in case they do, because, I don't want the postman. I don't know how they're going to be delivered. Sometimes they come by post, sometimes they come by, you know, we had a book delivered by Yodel. It was this chap on a mule going, yodel, 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 yodel. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm a living, I'm a door, I'm a door, you. Translated, I'm delivering a book for you. Which was one about old hand tools. Talking to that, I was in the back room tidying up, and I forgot. I didn't forget. That's the title of the book. I found a book that I'd forgotten I'd got called I've Forgotten I've Got This Book, which is a strange name for a book. The Forgotten Arts, A Practical Guide to Traditional Skills. It isn't actually a practical guide. It's a guide to the traditional skills, but it's not a practical guide. It doesn't actually tell you how to do these things.
Yeah, it doesn't actually give you... Yeah.
It was written by John Seymour. John Seymour, the famed John Seymour of self-sufficiency. And this is a National Trust book. So it was one of those that you buy in a National Trust centre and then regret having paid the exorbitant fee that it would have been.
$16.99.
Yes.
Goodness.
And that probably was in 2000, was it?
Dorling Kindersley, yeah. I used to love my Dorling Kindersley books.
It was first printed in 1984. This edition, 1995. So that would have been quite expensive. Expensive. My glasses just flew off. Back in 1990, because it's a slim volume. I mean, it's got about 100 pages in there. Nearly 200 pages. It says 200 pages. It's 200 sides.
Spit your words out.
It's 200 sides, 100 actual sheets of paper. Anyway, I wanted to
showing carding on that page. Oh, look, shepherd's hooks.
Yes, before you say any more, I wanted to say what it had in it. So,
hurry up, spit it out.
I am hurrying up to try and spit it out. So it's got all these, what is it? The traditional skills, and they include things like hurdle making, making sticks and crooks, which you were referring to. We'll come back to that. A millstone dressing, we all need to do that. Knife making. Can make your own knife, boot and shoemaking, which was interesting. We saw them making clogs earlier, saddle making, harness making, coracle making. I've bought a coracle once. Sled making. Old carts, coopering, you know, all these old skills that there was, and it gives you a guide on how they're made, but doesn't actually, it's not a step-by-step guide that you could follow, like a Haynes manual. The tinker. What does it say about the tinker? The word tinker was once applied to an honourable group of men and women who travelled the roads in Scotland, Ireland and other parts of Europe, performing the most necessary task of making and supplying goods made of copper, tinned plate, and sometimes sheet iron. Tinkers could also tin copper vessels by melting tin and coating the inside of the vessels. Tinkers did what work there was to be done and then moved on. When they returned some years later, the tin or copper goods they originally supplied would have worn out and there was another spate of work for them. Tinkers would most likely join two sheets of metal by lapping them, that is, folding the edges of the sheets to a joint. It was done so well that the folds in the metal met perfectly, and objects like those at the bottom of this page are still perfectly watertight years later. And there are some pictures of some of these items they're talking about. Coffee pot, a milk jug made out of tin, a watering can, and an oil can. So, yeah, there you go. Isn't that interesting? Another method of joining metal used by tinkers was riveting, and I've watched them make rivets, says John Seymour. You cut a little triangle of metal from an old tin can, roll it into a cone, place it point first in a suitable sized hole in a bar of cast steel, and hammer the cone to form a flat head. The piece of cast steel with the hole in it, which in fact had up to six different sized holes in it, was called a nail tool, and it was one of the portable anvils forged in mild steel for tinkers by village blacksmiths. The other two were the stake and the hatchet stake below. With these, a hammer, a pair of tin snips, and a soldering iron, a tinker could make any useful artifacts. It's amazing. Amazing what, you know, that people thought these things through. This wasn't AI doing. It wasn't coming up with all of this. The page that's interesting to me is this one on, well, it's about blacksmithing, but I'm looking here at an English scythe, and I'm going to sneeze for your... Achoo! Delectation. Yep. Bless you. And then there's all these sort of slicing. I'm going to put the light on because it's a bit... the lettering in this book is quite small. I would if I could find the button. So, we've got an English scythe, a New England mowing scythe, a reed cutter scythe, all different shapes, beautifully illustrated, a slasher. It's Slasher Stevens. Hello, I'm Slasher Stevens. A bill hook. A fagging hook. A sickle. A German-style axe. And joiner's axe. Pictures of these. Traditional blades. The trusty tempered blades at the heart of so many crafts were once made by the village blacksmiths. As any smith worth his salt knows how to temper steel by heating and quenching. They judge the temperature by the colour of the blade. In this way the blade is hardened so that it can be sharpened and will hold its edge. Tempered steel. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Lovely to see these old crafts, and the book is full of it. And I didn't realise I had this book on my shelf. It was in the back room, as I said at the beginning. Peat cutting, making stiles, to, you know, for walkers, dry stone walling, slate cutting. There is one in here somewhere, tile making. And I quite fancy having a go. If you know, if everyone was making a little building, it would be good to make your own tiles and then say, I made those tiles. There's basketry, paper making. Make your own paper. The first paper makers were wasps. They chew wood up, mix it with their saliva, and turn those beautiful papery nests. Anyone can make paper. I know a lady who lives in Herefordshire and makes paper of the weirdest things, from nettles to Swedish turnips. She sent me once a little clip of samples of paper made from linen, bracken, rush and linen, cotton straw, chamomile, spent hops, artichoke, cabbage and nettles. Some of these I've never considered suitable, he says. To see paper made by hand on anything like a sensible scale, small is beautiful, but minute can be ridiculous, I had to go up the charming valley of the River Dore, which flows into the Orlia in the Avenue in central France. There I inspected a paper mill of the late Richard de Bass. The mill has been producing paper with only one small interruption since the 17th century with its present machinery, and before that there has been a paper mill on the site since the 4th century. The mill survives partly because visitors are allowed to inspect it and pay for the privilege, and partly because it turns out fine paper used in limited edition books. Thankfully, there still is a demand for this type of product, albeit on a limited scale. There is a fine overshot water wheel, which has been turning continuously, except for halts for occasional repairs, for 300 years. The wheel turns an enormous horizontal beam called a chapabri. This beam has pegs of apple wood sticking up from it in a pattern that resembles the workings of a music box. As the beam revolves, the pegs catch the ends of huge wooden hammers, which cause the hammers to lift a few inches. As the peg turns, the hammer drops. They drop onto a large stone mortars, thus hammering whatever happens to be at the bottom of those mortars. And as the water wheel revolves, these hammers thunder up and down in a strange rhythm of their own, determined by the fact of their arrangement of the pegs on the great shaft. The material from which the paper is made is mixed with water, diverted by ancient wooden channels from the stream that divides the mill, and poured into the mortars under the hammers. The material used now in the mill is cotton rags, which make the best quality paper. Wooden chips or shavings would do, practically anything of vegetable origin, and for 36 hours these rags are mercilessly hammered into a fine pulp. So that's really all it is it? It's just you're bashing and bashing and bashing and bashing, and you're flattening and flattening and flattening and squishing and squishing. Is that what the business of paper making really is? And it's just, you know, big paper mill. Because you've got to do it on such a huge scale to get all that paper, haven't you? Well, it'd be interesting to have a go, wouldn't it? The pulp has run off into a something or other, which I can't read, QV or something. Here the liquid is heated by a means of charcoal fire and constantly stirred. For now the team work... Now for some teamwork. A man, called an ouvreur, takes up a shallow tray with a fine gauze bottom. Oh, I see, yes, so the water can drip out, I suppose. With a deft motion, he inserts this into the liquid. He lifts it to allow the surplus water to run through the gauze and hands the tray to another man standing behind him who calls himself the coucheur, or the putter to bed. The coucheur has already laid a square woollen felt beside has what? The laid a square of woollen felt beside him, and he turns the tray over and allows the sheet of pulp to fall onto another felt. Of all the felt I've ever felt, I've never felt a piece of felt that felt like that felt. He then immediately places another piece of felt on top of this, and he builds up a pile of alternating pieces of felt and layers of paper pulp. Next, he removes the pile and puts them into the press. This is a massive wooden press. Almost exactly as can be found in pressing apple pulp. Oh, I see. Yes, and then you press the stuff together. Great pressure is applied to the pile at the moisture. The sheets, and now I suppose one could call paper, are taken out and hung to dry in racks, which is warmed in the winter to dry. Now they really are paper. So that's fascinating, isn't it? And there's some pictures of them, illustrations of them doing this. And you could do that yourself, if you so wished. Anyway, it's a lovely book, Forgotten Arts, by John Seymour, if you're interested. Probably only available now in second hand. I don't know. They might come up with these are the sort of books they would come out with, wouldn't they? Excuse me, blowing my hooter from time to time. We just go and buy paper, don't we? We go and buy it by the ream. We don't really think much about it. The book is made and printed on paper. It's a nice sort of what they used to call art paper, or not eggshell, but that sort of stuff. When I was in the print game, I was quite familiar with different types of paper on a massive scale, but presumably made by rollers these days, made by great big steel rollers that squish them all together and squish the water out and dry some, probably on a conveyor belt or some description. You see these great big, you know, with newspapers, you see these great big rolls of paper, you know, I don't know, a couple of miles long, probably in terms of the paper on it. Absolutely amazing. But we don't, this is the thing, we don't know anything anymore. We don't know how things are made. Anyway, I better go. Things to do, people to see, phone calls to make, letters to write, paper to press. So thank you for listening today. I will catch up with you tomorrow. Until, you've made me a cup of tea.
I have.
Oh, that's very kind. You're about to leap out the door.
Oh, yeah, I'm in a few moments.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for that. I will go and make the video. Today I have a notion. Oh, Julius just tumbled down the secret hole I dug in the floor. And did that land on your foot?
It landed on my leg.
Oh.
I think it's cut me, actually.
It's cut you?
I think so.
Oh, God. Right, I better go and be an ambulance. coming to rescue you. Nina, 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 Nina. Have a little plaster. Stick it on your leg now. She's pulling up her tight. Oh, yes, the blood is not quite flooding out.
No.
But the nasty little pinprick there.
You did
stab
me.
Yes,
you in the shin.
See how terribly worried I was.
Yes, absolutely petrified. Leapt of
from the
me losing my leg from,
yes,
all sorts of gangrenous. Nasties.
Thank you for the tea.
You're welcome.
Right, my
Thank
friends.
Thank you for the sympathy.
Yes, there's a lack of sympathy. Thank you, my friends. Enjoy your day, whatever it is you're doing. And if you're doing it, do it well. Till next time, toodle pippin.